we want to go back to Romans again in our Bible study, looking at Romans chapter 12, maybe a few more gleanings around what pastor's preaching. One thing I've noticed, if I go a little bit ahead, then he'll skip the verses that I've touched. So I want to hear what he has to say on some of those verses ahead, so I don't want to try to go ahead of where he's at, so we can hear his thoughts on and what he's found in those verses ahead. We'll start Romans 12, and we want to read verses 1 to 11 here. Again, to the church at Rome. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Amen. Lord, we pray that your blessing would be upon the reading of your word and the hearing and the study of your word tonight. God, we want to hear your thoughts, your voice in this, Lord, not our opinions, not our notions, but we want to hear what you have to say to us. We pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking here, we want to start at Romans 12:2. I think we've heard this many, many times out of the KJV. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I've often quoted verse, and I wanted to look at the phrase here, that ye may prove. In the center of that verse we have, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if we look at this in ESV, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Or another translation has this as test and approve. So it's discerning, but testing and approving here. Where the context allows, the word often includes and adopts the idea of preference or approval. We can see that same word in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 3. Here, Paul is telling them what he's going to do. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. Okay, and I think we got the ESV here. Do you have the NET on this? So you see, accredit by letter. So they gave the accreditation by the letter that they gave him. I'm not sure if we got the NET in here. Our internet connection was a little spotty when we were getting the verses. Okay, never mind. The NET says, when I arrive, I will send those whom you approve with letters of explanation to carry your great gift to Jerusalem. So here the meaning is that the Christian's intelligence has been renewed by grace. And there's an instinct, a discerning when there's you have conflicting cases between what is the will of God and what's the will of self or the will of the world. So if there's a conflict there, our mind is renewed and we can act on our perception, on our judgment, and we can give approval to this. As we're renewed, then we get that discernment within us, I think. As you get into the church longer, you may have a chance to listen to some of the old music, and you start to listen to it, and well, this doesn't feel right when I listen to this. I grew up with this, and I listened to it all the time. I play it on repeat. But now when I listen, I just feel weird about it. Growing up, I loved to tell jokes, anything for a laugh. And people may have been laughing at me because of how hard I was laughing. I think I was told that later on, by some of my cousins. They got a kick out of seeing how hard I was laughing at the jokes that I was telling. Now, there's sort of if the joke gets off color or raunchy or something, it just doesn't feel right to say it or to enjoy it or try to laugh at it. And I think that's a direction from God's Spirit in us to have that discernment, and we start to give credit or a credit, approve or disapprove something by God's Spirit in us. Watching movies and TV shows, if it's filthy language or scenes in it, I'm sorry, everybody's talking about the show at work, but I have to miss out because it's too raunchy, it just bugs me. And just what I was thinking about now, you think of Lot when he was in Sodom. The Bible says that the works of the city, it vexed his righteous soul. And I think that that's the same way with us when we're as we grow in the Spirit. Social media, I've had to unfriend, disconnect, or unnetwork with people if they were filling my page with cursing and lies, things that were incorrect. I don't want to see that. It's garbage. It irritates me. And even though there are people maybe that were in church in the past and I wanted them to be saved, I don't want to have that their garbage flooding me. And I think this verse shows us that God puts that mind in us. The question is, are we spiritual or do we love the world and its things? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is in himself to be judged by no one. As we're walking in the Spirit, anything that comes in front of us, we're to be judging. Is this good? Is this bad? Do I approve this? And by God's Spirit, we can approve or disapprove of that. Romans 12:3, I wanted to read here. For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, this is just a little, Pastor had talked about this already, about that we're supposed to look at our measure of faith and not go more than that or less than that. Just by what God has given us, that's what we say. We don't say more, we don't say less. I saw in the NLT, and I made a special slide with the NLT. Here, I like how the wording is here. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. So I like that phrase, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. It's very easy if we're doing a self-review to give ourselves, 100%, 100%, I'm perfect. But it says be honest. What are the areas? Can you, we can go to the extremes. Either I'm doing perfectly, oh, I'm great, or I'm terrible, I'm the worst person ever, and I can't do anything right. So there can be extremes there, but I think it's good to evaluate what are the areas I'm doing well or poorly in. You know, to example, you know, I'm trying to avoid saying you know too much. So if you see me grimacing, then reading the Bible. Okay, I'm doing pretty well on that. I'm only a couple days behind in the yearly Bible reading plan, maybe a week behind or so. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good in that. But you know, am I teaching my kids the Bible daily? Am I doing as the Bible has commanded? Do I teach them daily? How am I doing in that area? Is it good or bad? Am I, as a husband, am I loving my wife as I should, as the Bible commanded me? If she said some mean words to me, you know, do I give her the cold shoulder for a couple days? Yes. So maybe I'm doing poorly in this area. So evaluate and see what are the areas that I can improve. For a wife or a mother, on the other hand, you know, am I participating in gossip? Is that negative? Or am I doing, pretty good? I haven't participated in that. Or have I been obedient to my husband in all things as commanded by the Bible? Good or bad? Maybe this is an area I need to work in. We can self-evaluate, self-judge, and see honestly where am I how do I measure up in these different areas of my life? There are some areas I'm going to be doing well, you know, keep going, but there are other areas I'm not doing well, so I need to practice and get that area up. Okay, moving on to Romans 12, 7 and 8. Here it says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we're looking at the ministry here. It's whether service or in service. It can mean either the apostolic service or preaching, but the ideas of active or practical duty of the church, whatever kind or degree. And almost any other work than miracle working or inspired utterance. You know, as if you're writing, if God has to the ones that God inspired to write the scriptures. So this means areas other than that, but it can be included in ministry. KJV, it says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Literally, this means to be in these things. What does this mean? Be occupied with this. So whatever our ministry or service, we should be occupied with it. Our attention, our focus should be on that. I think of let us wait. So I think this is not waiting and sitting back and, okay, I'm going to wait until this happens. No, this is the waiting of a waiter or waitress. So you think, what does a waiter do in the restaurant? They serve, they're waiting on the table, they're paying attention. These are my tables over in this area, and I got to see if anyone needs something. Come back by and how are you guys doing? Can I get your boxes? Can I take your check? So they're constantly paying attention to that, going back. So this is what the idea is here. How much time and attention does a waiter spend? What's the entire time that they're working there, if they're a good waiter? But, you know, if they're a terrible waiter, then they'll take your order and then go back and talk by the kitchen or something. But this is what he's talking about. So we compare this to our area of ministry. Let us really be in it, be devoted to it. And the teaching, on he that teaches, literally after where it says on teaching, the literal is in the teaching. So if you're swimming, you want to be in the water. I'm literally I'm immersed in this. I'm devoted to it. We look at it in the NET, which I don't think we have, but maybe, oh, yes, we do. If it is service, he must serve. If it is teaching, he must teach. If it is exhortation, he must exhort. If it is contributing, he must do so with sincerity. If it is leadership, he must do so with diligence. If it is showing mercy, he must do so with cheerfulness. This is not just something we'll do once in a while. The idea is give yourself wholly to them, as we see in 1 Timothy 4:15. But when we read some of the surrounding verses, 4:13 through 16, Paul is instructing Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. 15, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." This is our instruction. Whatever area of ministry, whatever we have to do, let's do it with diligence. These same verses here in the NET, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you have given to you and confirmed by prophetic words when the elders laid hands on you. Take pains with them. Be absorbed in them so that everyone will see your progress." What was the meaning to the Romans and to Timothy for these verses? We think this is not just an addition. This is the Christian life is not just an attachment to our life. Okay, well, I'm Bob. This is my whole life, and I decided to take on some Christianity too. No, this is everything. Being a Christian is everything. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Not just, oh, I woke up and, oh yeah, today is Sunday. I guess I better show up and do some ministry at the church. There's preparation there. Now, the exhortation in Romans 12:8, "On he that exhorteth, on exhortation." So he's saying, be in it. Give yourself to the exhortation. The exhortation was perhaps it's a little different than teaching or the preaching. So this was something different that was called out. And the word here is parakaleo, to call near, that is to invite, invoke, by imploration or consolation, beseech, call for, comfort, desire, entreat, pray. So these are some other synonyms for this exhortation. How can we increase in this area? How can I do this better? You know, I realize my limitations. I'm not good at conversation, and there's some that are. We think of Carol Lee. She very easy for her to talk with anyone and become their best friend. Whatever the gift is there, we think, what are my talents? What can I do this better? How can I do this more professionally? Am I just doing something casually? You know, I'm saying you know again. If my gift is playing music, am I only showing up at the service time and playing? Or how can I do that more professionally? Do I take time to practice at home? Do I get some notes together with chords and stuff and not just wing it? Am I training? Am I expanding my list of songs? What preparation can I do for this? So we want to think about that in whatever our exhortation, our ministry is. And we think about it. We all see that we have different areas and different gifts where we can bless the church, we can bless God, and we can use that. But we want to be like the servants that were commended. God gave them talents, but they took those talents, they used them, and they added to them. They increased them. Rather than the unprofitable one, he went and hid his. God wasn't happy with that. Now, in this verse also, you have he that ruleth, and this is whether over the church or any section of the work or even our own household. He that ruleth should do it with diligence. Literally means in haste, which means with earnestness. Minute attention to duty, earnest purpose. If you use the phrase, I'll just wing it, that doesn't seem like the correct way to rule. Whatever area you're ruling in, it needs to be done well. Looking at verses 7 and 8 in the NET here, if it is service, he must serve. If it is teaching, he must teach. This is our job as much as our regular job. So a question is, how does your performance at the job you have in God's kingdom, how does your performance there compare to like your performance on your regular job? If you were getting a job performance review, how would you do? Any lates? No call, no show? If God was giving me a grade, Carl asked you to make my house a prayer. How many minutes did you pray? I'd have to show my embarrassment there. I asked you, Carl, to show mercy. Are you merciful? Have you been merciful to your wife, to your children? Or in the case of wives or children, have you been merciful to your husband or your parents? Because it's sometimes the people it's hardest to give mercy to are our family. We live with them. And what are we doing daily? Am I doing the things of God daily? If I only show up to my work once a week, do I keep my job? not likely. So how does our performance in God's kingdom compare to our performance in our regular job? We had a meeting today with one of the higher up bosses that's in charge of our area, and he said one of our goals is to always be learning, always be learning. In comparison, in God's kingdom, are we having that attitude? Am I learning new things in God's kingdom? Am I increasing my skills again? Are we adding to our talents? It's easier just to do the things that we've always done. It's uncomfortable to learn new things because we know what we do well. But there's a saying that I've heard. They've used a different word. The idea is that you're going to be terrible at something before you become kind of good at it. So we're often afraid to fail or do poorly at something, and that hinders us. I don't want to be embarrassed at learning a new skill. But we just have to realize before we become kind of good at it, we're going to be terrible. That's just the way. Moving on to another phrase here. He that showeth mercy do it with cheerfulness. For this one, we're not grudging in showing mercy. And I think of Brother Johnson, the other Brother Johnson, his job. He helps those who are elderly to do the things that they can't do anymore. And in a way, he's showing them mercy, assisting them and helping them. Now, what is his attitude when he does that? Is he, I have to help all these old people? Man. No, but I think he goes in and he has an attitude of cheerfulness. You know, when this is your gift and you're working in that area, let's do it with cheer and not begrudging. Looking at giving here, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Most translations this is verse 8. Yeah, I think we're still there. Okay, you have the NET. Most translations say generosity here. The one who contributes in generosity. So if the gift is, I have money, God has blessed me financially, and my gift is giving, you know, I'm generous with that. Yes, that can be an application, but I saw another translation, let him do it with simplicity. do it with sincerity, not self-seeking. The idea being honest in the giving, with do it with purity, integrity, and not selfishness. So it requires the bestowment of a favor without seeking any personal or selfish ends. So this I like that idea also in giving. I'm not giving to be seen. That is, the alms, he distributes them faithfully and without any favoritism. Question I had on this was this alluding to what was happening in Acts chapter 6? We go to Acts 6. It says, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And their ministration, that's the word ministry, what we're talking about here. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Again, here, ministry, serving. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Again, here, ministry. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So when this was done in the right way, without favoritism, we see the word of God increased, disciples increased, the church increased. And I think with the ministry needs to be done in that way. If the ministry is giving, give with sincerity in a biblical way. I'm going to take a selfie. Okay, look at me giving this $20 to the homeless guy. I'm going to post this on Instagram. That's you. How can God reward that? You're doing it to get fake people and fake internet points. Your reward is right there. You might get a couple likes from that, but that's your reward. So if your ministry is giving, do it in a biblical way. Don't in a secret way. I'm doing this in a secret way. God sees it, and he will bless it. I'm doing it for his kingdom. That's all our time. Do you guys have any thoughts or comments or questions on any of these items, anything that comes to your mind from what we've studied? The microwave, yeah. Right now, yeah. Yes. Yes, this to me that's the whole purpose in his writing was people were having spiritual gifts and then they were using it to puff themselves up and say how big they are. Look at me, how important I am in God's kingdom. But he's saying you guys are on the wrong track. It's not about us. It's about God and his kingdom. Any other thoughts or questions, anything? Alrighty. Appreciate your attention. If you'll help me pray, let's pray to be dismissed tonight. Lord, we thank you for hearing your voice, hearing your word tonight, God. Thank you that we have a place to gather and that we can study your word. We pray that you bind us together in love, your church, Lord, and we pray your favor, your blessings upon this body, and that we can have your heart, have a desire in us, Lord, a passion for you and your kingdom, that we may see and desire the things that you desire. Let your word work in us, Lord, and we want to pay attention and give diligence and take heed. do all the things that you've pointed out in your word, and not just be slothful or lazy, but be diligent, looking to our gifts, increasing our gifts. Help us to do that. We pray that you would protect us and walk with us as we leave this place and bring us all back together again in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.